TransUnion Africa has released its quarterly vehicle pricing index for the first quarter. It showed that new vehicle prices rose by 8.8% compared to the January to March quarter of 2020. In that quarter, prices rose by an annualized 4%. Second-hand vehicles saw prices rise by 3.7%, which is the first time in a long time that they've registered an increase that's above average inflation. In the first quarter of 2020, second-hand car prices rose by 1.4%. Well, to find out what's behind the inflationary pressures and to get a broader sense of how the vehicle market sector is doing, I'm joined on the line by Cribben Reddy. He's the Vice President of Auto Information Solutions at TransUnion. Thanks very much, Cribben, for joining us. Now, the inflationary pressure coming through in car prices is quite strong when compared to last year. Let's start with the new vehicles. Why are those prices ratcheting up so quickly?
Yeah, it's a factor of a number of things. I mean, generally, it's obviously exchange rate, supply and demand also is factored in there. We've got a global shortage on semiconductors at the moment, so that affects the supply of new vehicles, which in turn affects price. Copper is another rising price commodity. So input costs overall, just general economic conditions. We've certainly seen aggressive price increases on new vehicles. With the reference to that, it's gone from 4% to the same period last year to 8.8% is what it's sitting on now on average. Yeah. So it's quite aggressive. I mean, it's about three times CPI.
Very aggressive indeed. And What about the second-hand car market? Is it a case of now limited supply of good quality stock on the back of greater demand for them?
Absolutely. So, I mean, good quality stock in general is always something that's limited in the South African context, but you compound that with some of the issues, that happened last year. So the rental market, as an example, is a feeder of stock and demo stock into the industry. That would have declined significantly with the rental industry, taking severe impact. New vehicle sales volume, a declining new vehicle sales volume, again, would have been a feeder because of trade-ins, et cetera, that the dealers can take in as stock. So all of this would have, compounded the issue, and stock levels are at an all-time low. So the need for good quality stock is always there, but it's declined, or the stock level has declined, and this then, forces dealers to pay higher prices. And we see that coming through, from a number of different avenues at the moment. Dealers are having to pay higher pricing for that good quality stock with low mileage, et cetera. But in turn, to maintain healthy margins, they would have to price it up a bit. And
we
see that coming through on the used vehicle pricing. It's gone from 1.4% quarter one 2020, which is now sitting at 3.7% quarter one 2021.
Yeah. So when you look, or when you dissect the vehicle sales numbers, which have improved somewhat, compared to last year, when you look at the rental demand segment, the rental players buying cars, new vehicles, I presume that's still quite a low number.
It's still low. Obviously, the year-on-year comparison is picking up, but it's still low because, that's a factor of just general travel, business travel,
yes,
consumer travel, et cetera, which is still, at low levels. So I think that the fleets and the rental fleets, et cetera, have been more cautious in terms of their stocking cycle and, when they actually bring in new fleets, et cetera. So it's the same, I would say, on even passenger vehicle sales, et cetera, that the rebound is happening and there is, growth coming through, albeit at lower levels. And, any comparison right now also to 2020 volumes is just, so unmeaningful. It doesn't really matter, because April last year we sold 527, I think it was, new vehicles. You can't compare that to that number anymore.
Yeah. When you look at demand for new cars vis-a-vis second-hand cars, what sort of ratio are you seeing?
So the ratio has shifted. We've been tracking this for a while now. In quarter one 2020, the ratio was around 2.1. So for every 2.1 used vehicles being financed, one new vehicle was being financed. In quarter four, we started to see it shift a bit more. It's sitting at about 2.3. And, expectedly so, it's starting to shift more in favor of used vehicles. At the moment, it's sitting at 2.4 to 1. So for every 2.4 used, there's one. And it's as expected, because it's still a higher value proposition for a consumer. Typically, if you look at, obviously the pricing from one perspective, But equally, a demo vehicle would still have, you know, its warranty intact, its service plans, or whatever it is, would still be intact. The mileage also would be a big indicator. Now, you've got cars that would probably have been sitting in some instances for a year, you know, driven much less than under normal circumstances. So it is definitely more appealing for a consumer.
Yeah. Do you think people who are professionals who are sitting in vehicle financing departments at the banks are having a bit of a headache and not meeting their targets?
I think not just banks, generally across the industry, it is a bit of strain. Remember, the dealer network, as it were, is actually a sales and distribution channel for a number of different industries. Finance is one of them. Insurance would be another.
Yes.
You know, there's all of these other ancillary products like vehicle added, you know, value-added products like warranties, etc. So when vehicle sales are down, you know, the impact is far wider than just the sale of the vehicle itself. So certainly, you know, I would say the banks are under a bit of strain. And I think the picture there also would be twofold, because you've got the lower volume of new acquisitions, et cetera, coming through. But equally, you know, consumers are under strain, and you also have this rise in impairments and bad debt. And, you know, so the impairment book is also rising.
Yes.
So it's definitely a strained environment.
So do you think there's more risk aversion as well?
There's both sides of that coin. I think there's risk aversion. We've seen, though, not to a high degree, but in some instances, lenders have slightly opened up, you know, risk appetite, and that is to stimulate demand, etc. But I think there's a number of factors playing out at the moment that would also, you know, cause some risk aversion.
Consumer, yeah.
General credit worthiness, you know, is not great at the moment. Disposable income is strained. We definitely have picked up, you know, we've been monitoring impairments as a case in point over the last 3 to 4 years, and this is even pre-COVID, and the average has probably risen from around 3.1% of impairments across the board to around 9.1% now. So that's also very aggressive. All of these things, you know, factored in, would definitely cause banks to be more risk-averse than under normal circumstances.
So at a bigger picture level, I mean, you did touch on it before. Of course, vehicle sales, you know, they've been improving somewhat. But what's your expectation for this year? Do you think it's going to be underwhelming, or it could possibly exceed expectations?
I think the one thing is there certainly would be a rebound on new vehicle sales. However, if we look back at some of the data points we have, typically the 07, 08, 09 period, etc., we expect recovery. And you know, the reference for recovery would be referencing like 2019, you know, a point in time pre-COVID. Recovery is expected across probably a three-year cycle. I don't think we're definitely going to do higher volume than 2020 overall on new vehicles, used vehicles, etc. But I think, you know, we probably have to be factoring in that the true recovery is going to take at least 3 years.
Yeah. So for listeners who are very interested in this subject, they may be thinking, but we've heard so many announcements about these multinational companies investing big monies in South Africa. So is the timing right?
I think the timing is right, because it's a bit of forward planning as well. I think the other aspect of the local investment, and hopefully we see this more coming through more aggressively, would be, as an example, repurposing some of the plants to service the electric vehicle market. So we know, you know, in some of the European regions, as an example, it's going to become law that at a certain point in time, are not going to be producing or selling normal combustion engine vehicles any longer. And, you know, all of this then would be gearing up the local production plants to satisfy that global demand on electric vehicles or hybrid, et cetera. So, I mean, I think the timing is right. It is definitely forward planning. You know, COVID also is something that is unprecedented, and clearly no one would have predicted it. So all things considered, I think it will still hold us in good stead for the future state.
And what about car exports? There's a general feeling that the global economy is going to improve with vaccine rollouts and so on. Do you expect that we're going to continue seeing robust activity when it comes to the export market?
I think we will. Right? So in quarter one of this year, we saw a 4% rise in exports as compared to the same period last year. April, obviously, it was a different story, but you've got to normalize some of this as well because, you know, April has got much lower trading months, etc. So we did see a decline in April. But pre-COVID, exports in general, South Africa was becoming a competitor on the world stage for exports. Because exports was certainly on the rise. Clearly, you know, globally, things shifted during COVID with lower demand and lockdowns, etc. I certainly see, especially, you know, to your previous point around the local investment, etc., that exports would continue to rise. It's a high, you know, it's high on the agenda with all the major seven OEMs in this country. It's high on the agenda of all the associations, like NAMSA as an example, to lobby and push that we keep driving, you know, high levels of exports and make sure that South Africa is a competitor in that space.
Yeah. And then in the meantime, what's the outlook for the local car dealerships here, especially those in the business of selling new vehicles? I mean, the picture does look a bit grim with limited demand and lower margins.
Look, I think, you know, generally what we see is happening is definitely is lower volumes. We know that, right? That's okay.
Yeah.
But it's more on efficiency now. It's about handling that customer experience a bit better. We've seen that COVID has actually been the catalyst for digitization. It's an industry that that's been transforming for a while. So a lot of what's in place has been there. So it's not like, you know, a lot of this has started from scratch, but ability for consumers to finance their cars or at least apply online directly. I think it's about the efficiency and profitability of these businesses. And that's where the shift is, whether it's a used car or a new car. You know, I think that's the angle that a lot of these dealer groups are taking, and dealers as well. We see there's a flurry of digitization, streamlining, getting to the best customer quicker and handling that customer, you know, in the most appropriate way. And then I think from a profitability perspective, in South Africa, we've got, you know, it's just a fact that we've got an aging car park in the country. 85% of our cars, you know, on our roads are over 5 years old. And that means also there's still an opportunity for a dealer because most dealers, certainly most franchise dealers, have got workshops and service centers, you know, at their dealer location, and that's an opportunity to now focus in on the customer even in the after sales environment. So it doesn't always, you know, translate into a vehicle sale, but there's certainly other mechanisms that dealers are using to monetize and to make sure that they're profitable.
That was Cribben Reddy. He's the Vice President of Auto Information Solutions at TransUnion Africa.